Jesus is Coming Back Very Soon, Part 2. Early in the 21st century, there has been great emphasis on climate change. Yet it is all in God's plan. Notice what Jesus said in Luke 21:25, "There will be signs in the sun, moon and stars. On the earth nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring toss in the sea." In recent years, we have seen three blood moons caused by eclipses. There has also been such a number of meteorites passing close to and falling on the earth. The prophet Joel predicted thousands of years ago that in the end times the Lord would show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. In Joel 2:30-31 we read, "I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." The blood moons during both years of 2014 and 2015 were a unique happening in that they would all fall on the Jewish holy feast days of Passover and Sukkot, that is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a very rare occurrence. The seasons are changing. We see great extremes of weather on the earth. It is getting hotter with extreme droughts. It is obvious that in these days the stability of the earth is changing, and changing fast. It can be either suffering drought or terrible heavy rains with flooding. In 2019, fires raged out of control in California and across Australia. The following year, coronavirus hit one of the commercial hubs in China, killing many folk, and is beginning to sweep across the world. The United Kingdom has had extreme flooding at levels never reached before. Plagues of locusts have devoured large swathes of land, stifling the livelihoods of people in Central Africa, moving across the continents up towards Israel. Let us now look at another sign that is happening on the earth. In the mid-1980s, I had a work colleague who knew I was a Christian would often ask the question, "What signs do you see in what is happening in Israel?" I did not ever ask him what made him say that, but he had every justification for observing what is taking place in Israel, because Israel has a central and important role to play in these last days. Twice in the Old Testament, Israel found themselves living in a foreign land. The family of Jacob followed Joseph into Egypt to escape a famine. In later years, the Babylonian Empire captured the people of Israel and took them into bondage. This was allowed by God because Israel had fallen so far from following him that he permitted this as a form of judgment. Now let us fast forward to the 20th century and discover that many of the Jews who were scattered to the far corners of the globe, namely Poland and Germany, were slaughtered by the tyranny of Hitler. Let us now read what was prophesied in Jeremiah 31, 10-11. "Hear the word of the Lord, you nations. Proclaim it in the distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will deliver Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they." We also read in Ezekiel 11, 15-17, "Son of man, the people of Jerusalem have said of your fellow exiles and all the other Israelites, they are far away from the Lord. This land was given to us as our possession. Therefore say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Although I sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back the land of Israel again." Also, we read in Ezekiel 34:11-28. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the Mount of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture. Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest of your with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and rid the land of savage beasts, so that they may live in the wilderness and sleep in the forest in safety. I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees will yield their fruit and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in the land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. Something amazing happened in the 1980s. We had a Christian friend who had a strong desire to support an organization called Ebenezer Operation Exodus. He felt led to support them in buying up second-hand buses and parking them on the borders of Poland and Russia. Christians were sent into these countries to explain what God was about to do in these end times and to encourage the Jews to return to their beloved land. Soon, droves of Jews began to flock back to Israel. This included the chartering of ships and aeroplanes. Now, in the early 21st century, it is reported in the CBN News in 2017 that 27,000 new immigrants arrived in Israel, including more than 3,600 from the US. Nathan Sharansky, chairman of the Jewish Agency, which oversees bringing the Jewish people home, says, for almost 3,000 years, we were disconnected, but we were praying for Jerusalem. So it's really the gathering of the exiles, and it continues every day, Sharansky told CBN News. I'm very proud to be head of the organization now, which brought 3.5 million Jews from the creation of the State of Israel and 700,000 from Arab countries, a few hundred thousand Jews from concentration camps from Europe, 1 million from the Soviet Union. We reached Ethiopia and brought more than 100,000 Jews and also the lost tribes. This fulfills the prophecy in Amos 9 verse 15. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. You may be asking the question, if God has made the promise to the Jewish nation to come and live with them on the earth in a promised land of Israel, then at the same time we read that at any moment Jesus is about to take his chosen bride up into heaven, what is the purpose of the Jews coming back to Israel, while at the same time Jesus is about to take the church with him back up into heaven? Remember what Jesus said in Luke 21:20, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. He also said in Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus also said in Matthew 24:8, all these are the beginning of birth pains. What does he mean by birth pains? Birth pains precede the birth and start of a new life. The dramatic things that are happening in the world today are in preparation for what God is about to do. Yes, they are the birth pains, the birth of a new world, the birth of a new age of righteousness. God is planting and setting in place the next great new generation. He is drawing the Jewish people back into the promised land of Israel. We are also told in the book of Zechariah 14, 1-6, a day of the Lord is coming. Jerusalem, when your possessions will be plundered and divided up within your very walls, I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The cities will be captured, the houses ransacked, the women raped, half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against these nations, as he fights on a day of battle. And on that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountains moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the day of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. On that day there will be neither sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. It will be a unique day, a day known only to the Lord, with no distinction between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light. In a while, soon after Jesus and the church have gone up into heaven, Jesus will again return to earth with the church to set up his righteous kingdom, living in the temple in Jerusalem, which is still to be built, to reign and become the true king of the Jews. Already, the Jewish faithfuls are making the furniture for the temple. For the short while Jesus and the church are in heaven, evil will run riot on the earth. This will allow the world forces freedom to try and destroy Israel. You may ask yourself, will there be any Jews who will be part of the church when Jesus comes in there? Yes, most certainly. There are many Jewish Christians in the world today called Messianic Jews, believing their Messiah did come to earth 2,000 years ago, accepting the way of salvation, believing Jesus died on the cross to save all mankind who believe in him. The overall reason for this study is to explain the first stage of what Jesus is about to do, the second stage of Jesus coming back to earth to reign for 1,000 years, is the subject of another study. For those of us here on earth, while we wait for Jesus to return, Jesus reminded his disciples what he is doing while up in heaven. We read in John 14, 1-4, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If they were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be with me where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Not only has God been in gathering the people of Israel to their beloved land, but it is God's will and plan before he comes back to earth to begin the final ingathering of souls who still have time to turn to him in repentance and ask Jesus into their lives from across the whole globe. For he does not want anyone to perish and all come to repentance. We read in 2 Peter 3:8-9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand the slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. There are thousands of people around the world who are still coming to Christ. Here I long for the day. We trust it is just round the corner when God's Holy Spirit will saturate this world once more with many calling out to him, as he has already done a number of times down through the centuries. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples just before he went back up into heaven. We read in Acts 6:1-6-8. Then they gathered round him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or date the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We then read in Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Soon the disciples were boldly proclaiming salvation through Jesus. We're here, Peter, boldly leading the march when he said in Acts 2:36-41, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. The wonderful news of God's love and salvation, saving grace, is still saving souls. Tens of thousands are flocking into God's kingdom. But in the United Kingdom and as in other parts of the world, there is a dearth and a vacuum in people wanting to know the Lord. How long for the times experienced back in the early 1900s in South Wales, when the Spirit of God was so strong in the atmosphere, folk were crying out to Jesus without a preacher in sight. Folk were flocking to churches, holding service outside because of the size of the congregation. After service, folk made little effort to return home. They were gathering on street corners and the village green, discussing the message the preacher had given. How like the disciples when they were first filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, we read, Acts 2:41-47. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. I would like to finish this story by sharing with you a vision my wife Chris had recently. During the month of February 2020, preceding the vision which God gave Chris, Storm Dennis arrived in the United Kingdom. The weather conditions were extraordinarily bad. Most of the United Kingdom experienced an almighty period of very heavy rain, accompanied by strong gales. There was much flooding on this particular Sunday morning, preventing us from going to our church service, fearful of not easily returning as the rivers were still rising. It is as if the Lord was reaffirming his word. This is what Chris saw. While sitting quietly listening to God, I saw a picture of an olive tree in full leaf and covered with black olives. God asked me, "What do you see?" My reply was, "Black olives." The Lord said I was right. "Are they ripe?" the Lord asked. "Yes, I think so, but not sure," was my reply, not knowing much about olives. The Lord said the crop is almost ready for harvest. I looked down and I saw the bark at the bottom of the tree to see. I was standing in a pool of water. Then I looked up and there were olive trees as far as the eye could see, all in fruit and leaf, and they were all standing in water. Then the Lord spoke, "I am sending the latter-day rains." In my mind, I thought he was referring to the Holy Spirit. Again, he spoke, "Be ready and prepared, for you are one of the harvesters." The vision closed. In Joel 2:28-29, we read, "And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." We also read in James 5, verse 7, in the King James Version, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receives the early and latter rain." The early rains come at Pentecost to help the growth of the freshly planted seeds in Israel. We await soon the arrival of the latter rains, when in these last days, in the end times, God is going to reap a mighty harvest of souls prior to him coming in the clouds to rapture and take his people home. We wait with anticipation for the latter days of the Holy Spirit to saturate this world with the onset of a mighty harvest of souls just before Jesus comes to take his people home. We can join with what Jesus said to John in the last verse in the Bible, Revelation 22:21. "Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." In closing, let us listen to William Albert Park singing the song, "What Will It Be to Dwell Above?"
Sin no more. struts the side, and flesh and sin.